Hey, good morning. Welcome in. We are live from the KGGF studios on this Wednesday morning. I'm Sam Speck, joined in studio by K-State Extension agents James Cooper and Jacob Weber. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Jacob, I didn't mean to blast you there. Those headphones are really nice. So, yeah, when the volume's just barely turned up a little bit, it'll blast you. It will.
Yeah.
But, hey, gentlemen, glad to have you in here, especially so close to Christmas time. So we appreciate you guys making a trip on in and talking with our listeners as well. And keep that in mind if anybody's out there and has a question for either of these two. Our phone lines are wide open at 251-6909. You can get in on the discussion. Today we've got a couple of things to note on, and I think it's kind of a good place to start. I don't see why not, just because your wife had to go through with it, but almost secondary exposure to poison ivy, basically.
Poison ivy. There's a lot of folks out and about, especially deer hunters and kids, and poison ivy is fairly ubiquitous. A big fancy word, means all over the place. And wintertime, we don't recognize it as easily. That little frog in the throat method.
There you go. There you go. Wet it down with some coffee. I hope that's coffee there.
Yeah, every morning it happens. But, the folks that are very sensitive to poison ivy, like myself and my wife, we can pick it up secondhand. It's very easy and without knowing it. And the dermatitis is just as bad in the winter as it is in the summer. Poison ivy is easily spread by contact and by secondary contact, and it's quite miserable. I guarantee it. I'm sensitive. I was sensitive to poison ivy first time I got into it, and ever since I've made it a point in my life, early life, to be able to recognize the plant and understand where it can be found. But winter time, it's not as easily recognized. And poison ivy is not just a vine; it's a shrub and a plant that climbs trees. And you may not recognize or easily recognize the branches that come off a poison ivy vine that's climbing a tree, which looks like a horizontal branch, quite smooth bark, and wouldn't even think so, give it a second thought, but get into it and get on your clothing and then walk around and brush up against
Because usually it's the leaf that people look out for, right? Kind of right. The shrub part, and that's determination.
We learned the phrase leaves of three, let it be, but during winter months it has no leaves.
It's
just as bad. In fact, it's actually worse.
Oh, wow. Well, and then you had mentioned, secondhand with that, it just goes to kind of further explain. You got to be careful with that exposure. Wash your hands. Make sure that you clean your clothes. You had mentioned, a lot of hunters out there, you come in from the fields and it's just, take off the jacket real quick, just get it off me. And that jacket may have a bunch on it and you don't really realize it.
Yeah.
So you got to wash those clothing as well. And real quickly here, actually, we've got a couple callers on the line, maybe with some questions regarding that. So let's get to them. Good morning, caller. Do you have a question for Jacob or James?
Well, I have a question and another statement. When you're talking about the poison ivy, I was working on a single-cut saw in a lawnmill, and I hit a patch of either poison oak or poison ivy on the tree.
Yep.
And aerosolized it. And I broke out all over my body.
Yep. I've done that with a lawnmower, and I didn't think that it would probably get me because it's just a very short, small plant, and I ran over it, and within 12 hours, I know if I've been in the poison ivy, I start to blister.
Yeah, I understand. My question was this. My hibiscus and rosehip, should I do anything with them over the winter?
Your hibiscus, is this going to be the large flowered one, or is it just like the hardy hibiscus? But Rosa Sharon is a very nice shrub. Of course, one of the problems with Rosa Sharon is it produces so many seedlings and becomes a nuisance almost. But it's a very attractive, well-adapted non-native plant in the area. Very attractive flowers when it's blooms during the summer. The only thing you need to do is just shape the plant a little bit. Sometimes it gets a little bit overgrown. And you can reduce the size and spread of the plant quite easily by what I call cutting back to lateral branches. So you just start out at the very tip of each individual branch, and follow that tip back to where you have a lateral branch growing in a very desirable direction, but when it's not as long, it's shorter. Just clip off the long part, let the short part remain. Do a little thinning. A thinning cut is where you cut back to point of attachment and leave no growing point at that spot. Cutting back the laterals, of course, you're removing a longer part, but you're leaving a lateral branch, which is the new growing point. A thinning cut just simply removes the branch back to maybe a joint where there's growing point left at that particular spot. The main growing point still is well above that that spot. So some thinning, some lateral, cutting back the laterals to bring the size of the plant back down, open it up a little bit, and that's all you need to do. And on Rosa Sharon, the pruning is done anytime during the winter months when it's dormant. I usually say wait till the day after Valentine's Day. Usually it's mid to late February. Good time to do the pruning. You can do it earlier than that. You don't have to wait till Valentine's Day. You can do it earlier. And then, of course, on your hardy hibiscus, I assume that's what you have. Oftentimes, those shrubs get froze back to the ground, so you can nip them off close to the ground. You can do this late winter, usually towards between Valentine's Day and the Ides of March 1st. Okay.
Hey, well, thank you very much.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And again, phone lines are open. And in fact, we do have another caller waiting on the line for us. Good morning, caller. Do you have a question for James or Jacob? Hello, caller. Are you there? And we may have lost you due to disconnection issues there. Just go ahead and give us a call right back. Again, phone lines are open. We'll be up until 8 o'clock. And then, of course, after the news at 8 o'clock, we'll continue with these as well. So, a good point there. I think that's probably a good kind of segue to go into the next thing. And James, I know we'll hit a lot on soybean in the 8 o'clock here. But is there really any, you know, right now looking at it, is there plant specific that you would, recommend to cut back right now or to do some of that? Or do you just kind of say through the dormant months are the most suggested time to do it? And that could be for, any plant as well. I think we do have the caller trying to get back with us here, so let's get back to the phones. Good morning, caller. You are on the air. Do you want to have a question for Jacob or James? And, okay, we are having some struggles with the callers here. But, Jacob, that question was for you there. The caller had some question about his hibiscus and things like that. Is there any other plants out there that right now you say, hey, it's probably time to trim?
Well, this time of the year, we probably stay away from the trimming activity unless it's a bit of nuisance growth. Like I frequently get questions about when can I prune off my peonies. Of course, that time has passed. Any time you get in late fall, you trim those off. Another one is chrysanthemums. They're froze back now. I'd like to leave that top on that chrysanthemum, unless, of course, it gets to be a little bit nuisance or ugly looking, then you kind of give it a shear. I don't like to cut them all the way back close to the ground. I like to leave a little bit of stubble there so that it protects the crown of the plant, maybe collects some leaves or something, not too much, and just kind of hugs that helps keep that ground heat up around the crown of the plant, protects a little bit. You don't want too much debris around it. So usually towards the end of January, early February, start cleaning that up a little bit. So allow that cold temperature to keep that plant from springing into early growth and then getting hit or hammered back by a mid-March hard freeze or something like that. But that's some of the activities that you might consider doing, but yeah. Right now it's Christmas time.
It is. Focus on the holidays, and let's try this again. We'll head to the phone lines. We are having some technical issues here, so bear with us on the patience. Good morning, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. Did you have a question for James or Jacob?
For Jacob, please. Okay. I don't have a problem. I have a mystery. My sweet gum trees, which are huge and create such a mess this time of year, strangely, don't have any sweet gum balls on them. Is that common?
Well, you're going to pay for it next year. Because it is not uncommon for that to happen, and usually is a result of a late freeze, late hard freeze. And we had that this spring, and it wiped out the blossoms or the flower buds. And on yours, you got a reprieve. The plant did not produce any fruit this year, which means that what it has done is accumulate a lot of carbohydrate reserves, which results in an abundant production of flowers for next year. And if we don't have that late hard freeze again to kill the blossoms, you're going to pay for it. You're going to have a massive production of sweet gum balls. Sorry
Great.
About that.
I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And I'm not looking forward to that at all.
Okay. Well, you've been warned. Okay. Get the rake ready. And go for it.
Hey, appreciate the call this morning. And looks like we've got another one. You guys are popular this morning here. Good morning, caller. Can you hear us?
Is that me?
Yep, that is you. Good morning. You are on the air. Did you have a question for James or Jacob?
Yes, I do, for Jacob. I was wondering if he knows of anyone local that does grafting on pecan trees.
I don't know folks that do the commercial grafting. And unfortunately, Dr. Bill Reed retired this past summer, and he's no longer teaching grafting, pecan grafting. So this is, I don't have an answer for you on this one. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate that this morning. Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people will be looking into that, and it's as easy as sometimes finding the right name, finding the right number with it. And if Jacob doesn't know, then we're probably a little sparse in the area.
Well, I don't have anybody to refer to now, so we're out of pecan business. Well, not we can get the information about how to graft, but it's something that really has to be done.
Certainly here. And before we run off to the top of the hour, that previous caller just a moment ago was mentioning a lot about the weather, the temperatures right now, and it's kind of odd. I don't know, it may be just where I'm from, but is it kind of, you know, normal to see these temperatures in the mid-50s, low 60s at this time of the year, and then the overnights, you know, sometimes not even getting to the 30s?
Okay. All right, we're talking about abnormal weather.
Mm-hmm.
Abnormal weather is the norm here. This is normal weather. If we had steady temperatures and for 2 or 3 weeks, and you know, temperatures that would be more seasonal.
So just expect the unexpected.
That would be abnormal. Yeah.
Yeah. Just expect the unexpected around these parts. I thought it was just an interesting question, just because we did have basically no spring this year. It went from winter to summer real quick with that. So thanks for that. Again, we're speaking with the K-State Extension offices. We'll check back with them here at the 8 o'clock hour. James has got some great stuff on soybean and the soybean course coming up in the month of January. For now, we'll run off to the top of the hour. It's the Mighty 690 KGGF.